this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, that you are amazing, God, that you are good to us, that you have brought us together here this morning, Father, with your purposes and your plans clear for our lives. God, you're not just here to entertain us, nor to just keep us busy, but you are here to change our lives, to impact us, to set our feet, Lord God, on the path that you have placed before us. And so we come to you, Lord, and we just give you our minds, we give you our feet, and we thank you, Lord, that you are here, God, to fulfill your purpose and your plan. So we pray that your will be done, God. Let your kingdom come in its righteousness and its peace and its joy this morning, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I want to pray, God, just for my brother. There's one of us here, Lord, extremely worried about finances. He had some very bad news in this week. I pray, Lord, that even as your word came during the offering, that you would just lift him, Father God. Give him a joy in his spirit, God. Give him a perspective. Let him soar on eagle's wings to see what you want him to see, Father. Thank you that you are his provider. Thank you, God, that he's just begun to scratch the surface of your provision for his life. Thank you that you will not leave him, nor will you forsake him, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. And I pray, God, just sends one of our friends here, Father, just let in. You are incredibly just heart sore, heartbroken, and it's a wound that you've been carrying for the last 4.5 to 5 years. And the Lord says this morning, he's coming just with the healing balm of Gilead and bringing sweet healing. He's bringing deliverance, bringing healing just to your heart. It feels like there's this, the stone of heaviness inside of your heart. And this morning, the Lord says, I'm lifting the heaviness off you in Jesus' name, Father. So we thank you, Lord, for your freedom. You're in this place. We thank you for your spirit. Have your way with us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want us, somebody can just open up the door as well, and the door over there at the back, and get some fresh air coming in here as well. This morning, I want to talk to us just for a few minutes about the sound of our feet. And I believe that our feet, our walk with the Lord, our walk through life, our walk through every area of our lives, there are specific sound to our feet. You know, if you think back on history, and I love history, you think about the people who have impacted the world, who have impacted generations. You think about Alexander the Great, you think about a Lincoln, you think about a Lenin, a Stalin, you think about Napoleon Bonaparte, you think about the Wright brothers, Steve Jobs. They are people who have done things. People who have established things, who have created things, who have imagined things, who have conquered, who have ruled, who have governed in a specific way. And they are famous, if you think about famous people, for what they have done. But then there are also people who are famous for the way that they've walked. The most famous one, obviously, has been immortalized, is just our Johnny Walker friend. Now, I don't know whether Johnny Walker's, those of you guys that know your beverages, you will know whether he really existed. And did he exist? Was he a real guy, Johnny Walker? He really existed? Okay. All right, so he's probably the guy with one of the most famous walks. Then you've got people, obviously, if you think back on life, you might remember that Hollywood builds a whole industry around the way that people walk. Right? From the cowboy to the gangster, there's a particular walk that is synonymous with certain characters. In actual fact, I don't know whether you can remember, but when the first of the new James Bond movies came out, who's a new James Bond actor? Daniel Craig. There was a bit of an uproar because some people felt that he wasn't walking suavely enough. You know, he wasn't the Sean Connery type. You know, he had a walk that sort of said, I'm here to destroy things. I'm running around, you know, and I don't care what I run through. I'm not going to use a laser beam and then open a hole in the wall. I'm going to run through the wall. He sort of had a walk that says, I'm here to destroy. You know, some people were sort of upset. That's not James Bond. You know, James Bond is a little bit more subtle. There's nothing subtle about the new James Bond. You think about Denzel Washington. I've never seen him run. I can't remember a movie that I've seen him run in. I've got to think. Yeah, he has a walk, you know, this is Denzel Washington. This is, you know him, you don't even have to see his face, you know, that's a Denzel Washington walk. Then, of course, you think about Tom Cruise. I can't remember a movie in which he has not run. Almost every one of his movies has got Tom running somewhere, you know, and running fast, you know. And then, of course, one of the most famous walks in the entertainment industry was obviously the walk that a smooth criminal performed on the moon. Now, if you think about it, that was probably one of the most famous walks. You know, and And so there are ways in which we think about people, and you think about what have they done. Some walks take minutes and then they're over. Some take a better part of 27 years to be established. There are walks. Walks that impact your life. Walks that change your life. And for us in the community of faith, it is amazing that if we go to Scripture, there's a specific walk mentioned right at the beginning of Scripture. And it's interesting that the first person whose steps are mentioned in the Bible is who? Any guesses? Who's the first guy you can think of that the Bible talks about the way that he walked? Not you, Barry. Enoch was an amazing walk. The Bible, interesting one. The Bible doesn't say a lot about Enoch. Just says that he walked with God and then he was no more. He was like taken away. He was a great man of faith. He walked with God and then he didn't even die. God just took him up to heaven straight away. An amazing walk. But he's not the first guy. Not the first person. Not the first mention of walks. An amazing walk. I mean, that's an incredible one. Probably up there with walks, as far as walks go. One day you're walking on earth, next day you're walking in heaven. Without your journey coming to a sudden end. By the first mention of somebody's steps. Anybody? Adam. In connection. It's God. Right? Let me read this chapter for you. This verse. It's an amazing one. Genesis 3 verse 8. And it says that Adam and Eve, they had just sinned. They had just destroyed their lives through disobedience to God. God said, look, I'm putting you in this garden. Everything is amazing. It is perfect. You can do anything. You can eat from any tree except this one tree. Okay, they go ahead. They sin. Then it becomes a blame game. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the snake. The snake couldn't blame anybody else, but it's a whole mess. Just after they've sinned, it says that they discovered they're naked. And they're hiding now from God. And then it says that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Fascinating. The original Greek there speaks about when it says that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. It says they heard the voice of his walking. In other words, there's a sound to the Lord's walking. They had a regular date with God. Imagine before the fall, before nakedness or the awareness of nakedness comes into play. In other words, I'm vulnerable. In other words, I've got to cover myself. In other words, I'm ashamed. Before that came into play, they had this date with God. And they would walk with God in the cool of the day. The end of the day, God would come and God would walk with them. That must have been amazing, eh? Walking with God, talking about what will we name this animal? Talking about the dreams for the future, how they will represent God on the earth and expand the authority God has given them over the Garden of Eden and expand that over the rest of the earth. How things were going to turn out. Amazing time with God of dreaming and getting excited and talking about the universe and just imagine the things God would be sharing with Adam and Eve. And then things fell apart. And they hear the sound of his walking. I wonder what it sounded like. You know, the sound of God's feet walking. And it's like thunderous. It's like gentle. He probably had different ways of walking. But it is clear that there's a sound to God's feet. And if there's a sound to God's feet, that I want to just hold this before you, that there is a sound to our feet as well. That there's a sound to the way that we walk. Now, when I'm at home, you know, there are different little feet walking down the passageway in my house. You know, and my wife's feet, and it's got a specific sound to it. And then Katie and Annika coming along and wearing their mom's shoes. But it is more or less the same, but it's different. It's a little bit more unstable. You know, sometimes they fall down a bit. And I can hear who's coming by the way that they walk. And I believe that God is wanting to speak to us this morning. And first of all, it's wanting to say to you and ask you the question, how do you feel in your heart when you sense God is coming closer? Like they did there. You know, they could sense God is coming closer. And for us, that happens when we come to a meeting like this. Worship God, you sense His presence. You sit down with a friend and you have a cup of coffee and begins to share a word with you. Or you're walking outside, you see the rainbow, or you hear the thunder. Or you're in a moment of crisis and you sense God is wanting to say something to you. He's wanting to draw you closer. What's your reaction in your heart? Adam and Eve dropped the seed of mistrust in all of our hearts, in the heart of humanity. From that moment, whenever we heard God coming closer, we draw away from Him. And the word came this morning, don't draw away, draw closer. What's your heart saying to you when you hear, I'm coming? When you hear, I want to talk with you. I want to draw you closer. It's sort of my first question to us this morning, something I want us just to think about. For some of us, we've got sounds, you know, echoing down the hallways of our lives. The sound of an alcoholic father's angry footsteps as he comes down the hallway towards your room to punish you for some or other misdemeanor that you committed. The terrifying sound that a young girl had to confront of that family member or family friend that was supposed to protect her and yet took her innocence. The sound of a mom or a dad walking down the hallway, out the house, and out of your heart forever. There are echoes of sounds that in any given moment would want to drown out the sound of the Lord's feet. And if not drown it out, then project its image and its sound upon the sound of the Lord's feet. And so that you hear the Lord's feet, and in actual fact, you're hearing the feet of those people that left an imprint on your heart. So what are the sounds in your mind? Sounds in your heart. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to hold before us, saying, but when you hear my feet, I want you to respond in a specific way. But in order for you to respond, you need to confront the other feet first. You need to confront those noises, and you need to confront those sounds. You need to deal with them. When the Lord speaks about our lives and all the things we're trusting Him for, He gives a very interesting description. We can go to the next scripture. It's a short sentence, but a powerful one. Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he says to them, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that summarizes our entire, what do we call it always? Christian walk. Our journey. You are on a journey with the Lord. Okay? It's not just bang, zam, saved. In that moment, everything changed. Now you've got to be perfect. God walks with us. And we're all in different levels in our walk with the Lord. Some of us have just taken a first step. Maybe there are some of us here, we're still deciding whether we do want to walk with the Lord. Some of us have walked with Him for years. But Scripture describes our journey with God, our relationship with God as a walk. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. How's your walk? How's your walk this morning? Is your walk limited to the sounds of the past, the sights of the past? Maybe the fears of the future, or is your walk based upon what Scripture there calls the faith walk? And I felt in my heart there were many things that I wanted to share on this morning, but I felt the Lord is just wanting to hone in on this. It is wanting to give us a specific spring in your step. He's wanting us to just sort of look differently at our walk again, because some of us sort of just ambling along. You know, this morning we drove past the guy on the way to church, and my wife just commented and said, he looks incredibly comfortable just leaning against the pole, you know, just like leaning there against the stop street sign or whatever it is. Just, you know, you have those people, you see that he has perfected the art of doing nothing. He has perfected the art of just leaning, you know, just like, you don't know whether he's holding up the pole is holding him up, but he's sort of, are you sure that if he walks away from that wall, there will be an imprint of his back against that wall? We cannot just amble into Christianity. You think back to your first step. Maybe you should do that just now. Just think back to your first step. Wow, that first step that you took closer to God. How did that happen? That didn't happen just through osmosis. You just lying there and just feeling different the next day. There was a step that you took. A very specific step and a very specific response to a specific voice, a specific invitation, a specific embrace from God. You took that first step. And you have not stopped walking since. There's a momentum I believe the Lord is wanting to bring to us. And I want us to look at a specific story this morning. It's a story that you guys have looked at last week at the Epic Bible Series as well. And there are a whole bunch of examples and beautiful stories in that. But I just want to highlight one for us. If we can go to that portion of scripture. Joshua 1 verses 1 to 9 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, as opposed to the son of somebody, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And then verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. We walk by faith and not by sight. Every place where your foot shall tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. They haven't taken possession of the land yet. The Canaanites do not accept their authority at all. They've sent a message ahead to the Canaanites to say to them, look guys, just want you to know we are here. The Lord gave us this promise hundreds of years ago, and we're here to take what is ours. Only one of the Canaanite kings responded and said, we've heard the fame of the Lord, and we know it's a bad idea to get in your way, so we peacefully surrender, and can we get into an agreement and made a covenant with them. The rest said, you're crazy. You know, just because you have a word, you think we're just going to leave? We've been here forever. Have you experienced that in your life? There comes a word on a Sunday morning for joy or for hope or for righteousness or for holy living. And you go back to your life and you go back to your mind. You go back to your hormones. You go back to your budget. You go back to your dreams. You go back to your boss at work. And they're like, you are crazy. Did somebody smack you upside the head? Just because you have a word, what does I do now? Just agree with you and just someone like lie down? No. I have a hold on your mind since you've been born or since you discovered your father's pornographic magazines under the bed or whatever. I've got a hold on you for years, and why do you think I'm just going to let you go? And then the scripture comes. We walk by faith and not by sight. What informs our faith? The promises of God. The promises of God inform our faith. In other words, for Joshua, as he was going into the promised land, you know what? If there was no word, if there wasn't a word, not a reminder, Joshua, you are going into the promised land because I've given you this land, it would just have been a walkabout. It would just have been like we have today. We go up and we go and visit the Holy Land and then we come back again. Just go and visit. Maybe you decide to stay, work in the kibbutz. But, you know, then that's it. Or you go and pluck there. But there was something different. He says, I'm going to take you into your inheritance. You've got to walk in a specific way. You've got to walk as if you own this place, Joshua. You've got to walk as if this is yours. He says, not that I will give you to possess. He says that I have given you to possess. Meanwhile, the giants are still there. This is a word that has come hundreds of years ago. 40 years earlier, Joshua goes into the promised land. He's about 60 years old when this word comes to him, more or less. 40 years earlier, he has gone into the promised land with a word. He comes back and he tells Moses, Moses, there are giants living in those cities. And the other guys are freaking out. They're saying, we're like grasshoppers, Moses, in the eyes of these guys. They're going to destroy us. This word thing, this promise thing of God, this walking out of slavery thing, this thinking that we can do what God calls us to do. This is a bad idea, Moses. We're going to die. Joshua and Caleb comes and says, we are well able to do what God has called us to do. We are well able. Fast forward the scene 40 years later, and he's back where he started. 40 years. He was good at walking, I think. By this time, he sort of knows a thing or two about walking. He's been walking for 40 years in the desert, waiting for the people with unbelief to die so that he can go into the promised land. It's amazing resilience. Caleb, his friend, at one stage says that I am as strong and stronger than what I was when I first saw the promise. I just want to speak that over some of you, that your time of waiting will not be a time of decreasing faith. Some of you standing in faith for things, you've been trusting God for a long time. And you feel like, God, I'm barely holding on. I want to speak Caleb's strength over you. Then by the time you get to that moment, you have to cross the Jordan, you will be stronger than what you were when you first saw the promise. When you first prayed the prayer. When the guys first laid hands on you. When you first began to believe, you will be stronger than what you were. Because that is God's way of working with us. It's not diminishing returns over time. We think that time makes us weaker. God says, now, my word has power to grow stronger and stronger in your life. And you've got to hold on to it. And so he comes and he says to Joshua, Joshua, Moses is dead, things have changed. You're not going to be the guy following now, you're going to be the guy leading. I want you to go and do a study. I want to encourage you to go and do a study of Joshua's life. It's amazing. The first few times we see him going with Moses up into the mountain, into the presence of God. Moses leaves the rest of the elders, and then he takes Joshua with him up into the mountain. One stage, it says that Moses was in the presence of God, and then he went to minister to the people, to judge them, and Joshua, the son of Nun, stayed behind in the tabernacle. So he had a love for the presence of God. He had a love for the presence of God. And I believe out of that fed his faith. Because you cannot go 40 years and not go and revisit the word. You cannot go 40 years and not go back to the source of the word. That word will die. You have to be purposeful about the word. You've got to get back into the furnace of the one that gave you the word. There with that bread, you know, my grandma used to bake those lekker thuisgemaakte brood in the outside oven. You know, not the inside one, the outside oven with the clay and the drum inside, and you would just smell it. Change your life just the smell. You've got to go back where the manna is fresh. You've got to go back. You've got to say to God, God, this piece of bread has grown a bit stale. Did you give it? Yes, you gave it. But God, I need you to just come and breathe upon this again. I need you to just come and fan the flame again. And how do you do that? Do you do that by thinking and reading stats on what happens to people who stand in faith? Or no. You get in the presence of God. Say, God, I need you. Only you can revive me. Only you can breathe life upon me. Only you. Only you can sustain me for 40 years. How long have you been walking and waiting for your promise? 4 years, 5 years, maybe some of you 40 years. Some of us maybe 40 at a push. You'll be as strong and stronger in the day that you heard the word. Stay in the presence of God. And so God comes to him and he says to him, if we go to verse 4, from the wilderness, and he gives him just a map again of his promises. How clear in your mind is your map of what God has given you? How clear in your mind is your map of what God has given you? You know, some of us hear promised land and we're like, sharp promised land, I'm going to go. But then God says, okay, that was the first word that you've heard. Now you need to come back to me and allow me to elaborate on that. Sit on that. Pray on it. Fast on it. Read up on it. Spoke to somebody the other day that said that at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave a word. She just had this vision as she was walking by the sea. It's fantastic. I have visions by the sea. It's amazing. It happens to your heart when you're by the sea. And just saw these waves, and the Lord said that many waves are coming. And that was like three months ago. And then we spoke about, okay, so what do you do with that now? And you take it back to God, and you pray about it. You start thinking about what do waves actually have to say to me? Often you would have one wave of change coming and there would be another wave coming. More waves. Waves normally come a few at a time. So you prepare yourself for the change. And you think about, God, what do you want me to do? Do I need to stand in awe and wonder at the beautiful wave? Or do you want me to serve the wave? Do you want me to teach others to serve the wave? So just say, wow, that was an amazing word. Waves, incredible. Waves are coming. Now you go like, okay, what does this mean? You talk to the Lord about it. Some of us, the Lord has given you a word. You've buried that word, and you haven't prayed about it since. You haven't fasted about it. You haven't sought God's counsel about it. I want to encourage you. Go back home, dig up that word. Go into your cloud, whatever, where you store the stuff. Go to your journal. Go back to it. Revisit and ask the Lord, God, show me the map. Maybe He'll just give you one glimpse. But at least you will know where you're heading. At least you will know what the next step would be. Some of you have to do that just in faith. So he goes to them and he says, okay, this is the land. Then he gives them a promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will not leave you nor forsake you. Moses' greatest prayer was, God, don't take me anywhere where your presence isn't going. And I believe it's the same heart that Joshua had. That's why God came to Joshua and he knew what Joshua had to hear. He knew what would encourage Joshua. It would be that my presence is with you. And it settles everything. My presence is with you. And that's what the Lord is saying to you as well. You know what fear is? Fear is actually the belief that something will happen in my life that will separate me from the presence of God. Something will happen in my life that will have greater power over me than God's presence can exert over me. I fear something. It means that I fear that this thing can get between me and God. You might not articulate it that way, but that's what it boils down to. I fear loneliness. I fear isolation. I fear dying without kids. I fear these things. And the Lord's saying, my presence is going with you. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But my presence is going with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And I believe that's the promise that the Lord is wanting to give to so many of us this morning. And he goes on and he says this a few times to him. He says, be strong and of good courage. Be strong. And of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Number 7. And he says to him again, only be strong and of good courage. So God obviously knew, look, you're going to need some encouragement. You know, if the Lord says that to you that often, then it's pretty evident that you're going to need to be strong and courageous. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's so much in that, such a lot of wealth. Go and study it at home. But it says be strong. That word strong there means kazak. Sounds like kazam. Kazak. Right? To be strong, to be purposeful. It's the same word that means to encourage. To find joy. David strengthened himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So my invitation to us this morning, just adding on to the words the Lord gave us earlier. You're going to need strength as you go into your promised land. I know you know that. It's not new news. But your source of strength doesn't come from yourself. It doesn't come from you just deciding, I'm going to be stronger. It comes from you getting into the presence of God like David had to do. And to encourage yourself. And how do you encourage yourself? You encourage yourself through worshiping God for who He is and by revisiting the words that He has given you. Encourage yourself. It's an amazing promise the Lord gives us. Because there are some of us, and Barry touched on it this morning, that widow giving her last mite. You know where we come from? We look at that and we look at that it must have been a desperate place for her. We look at that and we think that must have broken her heart. The same when we look at Abraham having to sacrifice Isaac. We look at that from our perspective. And yet Scripture says that when you exercise faith, you don't just do it as a wish. I wish something good would come from this. You do it from a knowing. You do it from a knowing that God is my source. See, even if I give this, I know God is my source. I know God is my source. And there's a joy in that. And God gives us this beautiful promise. He says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. And I want to hold before some of you guys that I believe the strength that you need is not in just trying harder. It's not just in fasting longer. It's actually getting the Lord to unblock your wells of joy. To unblock your wells of joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your what? It's your strength. So when He says, Kazak, be strong. I look at Scripture and I see that it is impossible to be strong and not have the joy of the Lord in your life. It is impossible to be strong and not have the joy of the Lord in your life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where do you find your joy? In the presence of God. That's where you find your joy. So what I want to do for us, just for 5 minutes, I want you just to sit, relax. You guys already look very relaxed. Continue in that relaxed mode. But I want to read for you a chapter, okay? It speaks about the sound of steps of faith. Feet that were filled with faith. Faith-filled feet. How's that for alliteration? To just open up your heart, not just to look at them and say, wow, that was amazing. That was incredible faith. Oh, those guys were wow. But open up your heart and to accept the invitation that God is giving you to say, now, put your You know, on Tuesday, Sharon sent me a picture of little Katie at home, and she put her feet into my shoes, and so she's standing there with these big shoes on and a smile on her face. And I just saw something of that God wants us to do. Put your feet in His shoes. He says that I've blessed your feet with the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've already given you beautiful, awesome shoes. Just slip your feet in there. Annika loves these fairy tales. You know, the princess with the shoes. Who was that? Cinderella. There are a few Cinderella sitting here. And you just refuse to step up when the invitation comes. So you're afraid the shoe won't fit. This faith thing, this joy thing, this righteousness thing, this purpose thing just won't fit. Not just now. I've designed righteousness, peace, and joy for you. It's your size. It's your size. You've been born again of the Spirit of God. It's not foreign to you. It is your size. It's not for the highly spiritual. It is for you. 5 days saved, 50 years saved. It is for you. And so as I read these stories, I want you to open up your heart and hear the invitation. It's going to take me about 5 minutes. Just close your eyes and hear the sound of people who have walked before you and me, extending an invitation to us to come. It says, by faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And as he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have gone back there. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you this morning of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received the dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And therefore, we also, here in this room, this morning, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come, Lord, and that we can accept your invitation for us, God, to not just look at these heroes of faith, look at the stories and listen to the stories and stand in wonderment and awe, but God, to know that it is still our invitation that the just shall live by faith, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Father, just as we all stand this morning, please. Father, I thank you that even as we're standing to our feet this morning, that you will come and that you will remove scales off our eyes, God. There are some of us that we are walking by sight, and there's no condemnation this morning. You are simply saying that we are selling ourselves short. You are simply saying that we have allowed the desert storms to cover the tracks of faith that we once knew so well. For some of us, we don't know what it means to live by faith, and you're coming and saying to us that you will teach us. You will not leave us. You will not forsake us. You will teach us. God, we thank you for the many testimonies we have heard this morning of you being faithful, of you being there for us. And God, I come and I pray for all of our hearts here. For some of us, Lord, the seeds of mistrust that were sown by Adam and Eve are embedded so deeply in our hearts. And those seeds have been strengthened and reinforced by human beings, Father, leaving their footprints upon our hearts. Someone here, and you feel like your heart is like cement, it's hard, but it didn't grow hard before. People haven't come and they've left, literally they've left their footprints etched on your heart, and it's like it's etched there in cement, and you feel it's going to be there forever. I just have this picture of someone who came and they literally jumped up and down on your heart, so to speak. It wasn't just one word or two words. It was like a continuous bombardment that took place for about 2 to 5 years. Just like constantly. Just a bombardment. In your heart that says you cannot trust God. You cannot dare to love. You cannot open up. You are not worthy to be sacrificed for. And the best thing you can do is to keep your heart hard. But God, I thank you this morning. Your promise is true to us that you gave us, Lord, that you said you will take the heart of stone out of our flesh and give us a heart of flesh. So thank you for that. God, even right now, Lord, as we're standing, thank you, Lord God, for just removing the heaviness, Father. Thank you, Lord, for softening of hearts. Thank you, Lord, for softening of hearts. God, I pray for those of us here, there are few of us, we in the changeover of just Moses that has died, so to speak, we sense that what has been now has come to an end, and it was good, but now we're standing, and now we're confronted by the giants again. Now we're confronted by things, and we saw these things many years ago, and we had faith, but now we're unsure. Now we're unsure whether we still have that faith that believed once and said that God can do anything. It doesn't matter how many the giants are. It doesn't matter how high or how thick the walls are. God can do anything. We're not sure whether we still have that faith. And this morning, the Lord is wanting to have that encounter with you, to speak a word into your heart and say to you, Kazakh, be strong. Be strong. Be strong, not in isolation. Be strong, not just through your determination, but be strong in my presence. And this morning he's here to just reconnect your umbilical cord. There's someone here, it feels like you're bleeding. You're supposed to be receiving sustenance through that umbilical cord into your soul. But it's as if there's just a lot of just hemorrhaging taking place. It feels like from your soul you're constantly bleeding. Feels like you know in your spirit that God has touched you. You know in your spirit you've been born again. But it feels like your soul has been chopped up. It's like that guy with a chainsaw horror movie has come in. It's just like ripped up your soul. Just stick a chainsaw to your soul and just shredded you into pieces. You're like, God, I don't know how to stop bleeding. God, I don't know how to not be this prickly, thorny beam that keeps on hurting people around me because it's the only way I know how. And the Lord says to you this morning, He still knows how to take care of thorns. He still knows how to get to the rose. He still knows how to look after His vineyard. So God, I thank you that you come right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, and that you, through the power of your Holy Ghost, that you come, Lord, and that you just come and just block that hole. Thank you that your side was pierced, that blood and water flowed from your side so that our hearts could be mended. So the hemorrhaging can stop here at the foot of the cross. God, and as we stand and we thank you, Lord, I want to speak just a word. If you're here and you feel like you're standing on the threshold of change, you just sense it in your heart. Maybe some of you have seen it. Some of you have known that now the end has come to what has been. Some of you are just beginning to sense it now. The Lord is saying, even the time that you spent with me, even the ways in which you related to me, those things I'm changing, those things I'm saying, I'm making things new, but I'm bringing you almost face to face with that just uncomfortability of not knowing. And where your mouth is growing a little bit dry because you know, God, I was comfortable with following someone else. God, I was comfortable with you speaking to me in this way through this person or in this specific direction. But now, God, I've got 2 million people looking up to me, God. Now, God, I'm standing in someone else's shoes. Or God, I don't know whether I have what it takes. And you just need to hear the word of the Lord saying, be strong and have good courage. And I want you God says to Joshua, I want you to walk into the promised land. That word that speaks about, it's not just a walking, it's not a ambling, it's not a loitering, it's not walking as if you don't know what you've been called for, where you're going. It actually speaks about a marching. It's every place where you march, whether that's into your, there's someone, it's like 3 people, and you're working in a business environment where there's a lot of cursing and there's a lot of business deals going on that you know are completely fraudulent. And the Lord is saying, I want you to stop walking in there as if you're being dragged into a prison. I want you to walk in there and to enforce my kingdom's rule. And it will happen through you just walking in there a little bit early in the morning. You just walk, you just pray in the spirit. You just walk in there and say, God, these feet are walking across these tiles saying that this is your place. It's your place. Let your kingdom come here. Let your kingdom come, your kingdom be established. There's someone here, and the Lord is calling you in the next few months to stop what you're busy doing and actually venture out and start your own thing because He's wanting to use the vehicle that is going to give you to establish and to further His kingdom. But you've got to go, you've got to learn your lessons. You've got to go to the people the Lord has placed around you, learn as much from them as possible. You already sense the change, and you're wanting to uproot your roots, and you're wanting to just leave, and the Lord is saying it's not time for that yet. You need to learn a few lessons you still need to learn, but you need to go. And you've got to go in there hungry. You've got to go in there hungry. And if the Lord is speaking to you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you and I want to exercise my faith with you. I believe the Lord is going to set some feet free this morning. Just to set your feet in the course that He has for you. Just to raise it up high. Just say, God, that's me. God, this word, be strong and courageous. It's not for the guy next to me. Maybe it's for him. I don't care. God, I've got nothing to do with him. I know I've got a promised land. I know, God, you've given me your word. God, I know that you have called me not just to survive and to sit in what has been given to me through generations. There's some of you, and you feel like you are absolute victim. You are blaming everyone else in your background, in your family, in your dad. And the Lord is saying, stop exalting them over my power. You've just got to stand and just say, God, that word, it's mine. It starts with you this morning taking possession of that word. Father, I thank you for the hands raised. I thank you for the strength and the courage, Lord, that it took to raise those hands because we know that when we do that, Father, there's no turning back as your word said. And God, that we are trusting you for a new vision. We are trusting you to see, Lord, what we need to see. And I thank you, Lord God, that even as these hands are raised, that you strengthen the elbows, God. You strengthen the elbows, Father. I thank you that as these hands are raised, they are raised, God, in worship, and they are raised in dependency. upon you, Father. So God, I speak a blessing over these hands, Lord. I thank you that they will know how to access your presence. They will know how to access your word. They will know how to receive from you. Theirs is not the hands that are crippled, God. I speak healing over crippled hands. Their hands here, and you feel like the manna is coming and the Lord is speaking, but your hand is like crippled. It's like you cannot open it up to receive from God the daily bread that you need for your days and your weeks and your month. And this morning, the Lord is saying, I'm speaking healing. And life over your hand, over your capacity to receive from me. There's a line in someone's mind, you say that the word is going to slip through my fingers. I'm going to put up my hand, it's going to slip through my fingers, and I won't even know how to get it back. And I just speak death to that line. I release over you the truth that says that you are a son and a daughter of faith. You are Abram's seed. You have been born again, not through the flesh and the will of man, but through the Spirit of God. So Father, thank you for boldness to walk. I thank you for boldness to walk into this week, to walk into these days, to see you parting the Jordan River, to see you cause walls to come down, and God, to experience the touch of your hand. God, I release a fullness of joy over your people. God, I thank you for the ability, Lord, just to start laughing at things again. Father, even when the enemy comes in with lies, that we would be like you. Your word says that you sit enthroned in heaven and you laugh at the plans of the wicked one. You laugh at his schemes. And God, in the moment when the lies would come, in the moment when the pressure would come, there would be a Holy Ghost empowered laughter rising up from inside of us, because we have already seen the end from the beginning. We have already seen what you have promised. We have already seen, Lord, that which you have established in our lives. And we know that our God is well able to keep us. So I release, Lord God, that joy over your people. I release that strength. I release, Lord God, the ability to become childlike again. Like little kids would laugh and find their strength in their laughter. God, some are so serious, Lord. And I thank you, you come, Lord, and you just come and just take that cloak of heaviness that's like a mask put over us, over our hearts. Just be guarded. Because if you laugh, you will have to let go. And you don't know what it means to let go of the pain. But thank you, Lord, that deliverance will come even in the laughter. Deliverance will come, God, even in the joy, even in the letting go. Some of us, Lord God, they will have to pull over this week, Lord, because just like we will just be filled with joy. And people think we're crazy, but we will know. We will know. We will know what you have done, what you have said, what you have stirred. So I thank you, Lord, that ours is a portion to walk by faith and not by sight. I release that over your people this week, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, and I thank you there will be no turning back. Thank you that you strengthen our faith. Those of us who feel like a face, like a little, this little baby, Yuan spoke about this morning, drowning in her own blood, aborted. Thank you, God, that you are drawn to that baby. Thank you that you say that a little one shall become mighty. Thank you that you say, Lord God, that that is still your bride, and you adorn her, you beautify her. You clothe her with your splendor. And so we just call those babies forth. We call the babies of faith forth this morning. And speak to you and say, you will not drown in despair. You will not drown in shame. You will not drown in pressure. You will not drown in isolation. You will not drown in the darkness of depression. You will not. But you will walk the steps of faith. And yours will be the voice added to the sound of God's people with one shout, saying that our God is able. Our God is able. Hallelujah. All God's people say, amen. Lord bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week. Incredible day.